We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wow. Tuesday afternoon, September the 10th. This is the day that marks the peak of the hurricane season. That's the bad news. The good news is that every day after this, we start moving away from the peak of the hurricane season. Hey, you know, right now, so far, so good. There was a shakeup at the White House. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but I'm not going to get into that seriously. We'll just mention that a little bit later. We're talking about the Saints game. You know, what a game last night. I mean, look, if you do talk radio, you can't avoid talking about an event like that. That was a huge New Orleans event. And if you were at the game, if you were watching or listening to the game, wherever you were, this was a game that was one emotional roller coaster ride. And you really didn't know how this ride was going to end. And I know there were times that you're thinking, oh my God, here we go again. And I mean, I felt that. But the Saints came back and made us forget all about that because they won the game. But I still go back to this sequence of events. It's, I think there's like 43 seconds left is what I'm remembering. About 43 seconds left, and it's 27-21, Saints winning. And at that point, you know, we got it. The problem is the team can't think that way. And I don't know if they did or not, but it sure seemed like the Texans came right down and scored and tied the game, 27-27. And then an extra point wins the game for the Texans. Or you would think that. No, there was the guy missed it. But there was a roughing the passer penalty, and I'm roughing the kicker penalty. And again, look, that guy, that Houston kicker, great actor. I mean, really, this guy should get a part here in Hollywood South in a movie that deals with, you know, being killed. Because it was just kind of a joke. And you know, but you can kind of understand how the officials maybe thought that was roughing the kicker, but it wasn't. Anyway, so they get a second chance. Boom, they kick it. 28-27. Houston leads. What do we have now, like 37 seconds left? Okay, we've got Drew Brees. Can they do it? I mean, there's still a chance. And, you know, I was around a lot of Houston fans. I mean, the Texan fans, when they came down and scored that touchdown and then kicked that extra point, I mean, the Houston fans around me were just going crazy. And then Drew Brees and the Saints come down, put themselves in a position still just outside the comfort zone for Lutz. But he makes the kick. But let's go back to, you know, we have a show here on WWL where Drew Brees talks to Bobby Hebert. We call that QB to QB. Well, here's another example of what it means when you say QB to QB, Drew Brees throwing a touchdown pass to QB Taysom Hill.
Brees takes a gun snap, looking, throwing. That ball's caught! Taysom Hill for the touchdown! Why not, Deuce? Throw him the ball!
I'm all for it.
And, you know, that was not just you know, I mean, that just looked like a real touchdown catch. It really was great. You know, there was earlier when Taysom Hill was not really sharp. There were times when Drew Brees was not sharp, and in the first half, mainly the second quarter, the Saints just seemed to be totally out of sync, and it was really discouraging to see Houston come back and do what they did. But the Saints hung in there, and you know, it looked like a track meet at one point. I mean, the Saints would do great and get ahead, and then Houston would come right back and score. So obviously, some adjustments need to be made with the secondary, and hopefully those adjustments will be made because the Saints travel to the West Coast to take on the Rams this coming Sunday, and it's a short week after a very, very draining game. So here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll. Are you concerned that the Saints are emotionally drained following last night's final second win over the Texans? Do you think they were emotionally drained? 81% say no, 19% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And I had a text earlier from somebody that said, the Saints aren't drained because nothing in New Orleans actually drains. Drew Brees, after the game, was asked, did you really feel like Lutz was going to make that 58-yarder? Because his personal record is 57 yards. He missed 56 yards earlier in the game. So what did Brees think?
Very, very confident. Obviously, that was a long field goal, but I think it was a good thing that we had attempted one from pretty much that same spot, you know, earlier in the game. So he had a look at it, and man, just a ton of confidence. I think for all of us, just to get back into that situation where we had a chance to win the game, I think we all felt like it was going to happen. And the minute you heard that ball go off his foot, you know, it was a thundering kick. I think we all knew it was going through the uprights.
Boy, it did, and it looked like it cleared it. This could have been good for at least 60 yards, maybe 64 yards. It was just an amazing kick. And what I love is that Lutz did this under pressure. You know, it's one thing to do something if there's no pressure on you. It's another thing to accomplish it with pressure on you. And not everybody knows how to deal with pressure. And this is something that, you know, you and I deal with in our lives every day, because in our own way, we're put under pressure and we're asked to perform under pressure. Coach Payton, though, after the game, talked about the short week and the big trip to L.A. to take on the Rams.
After this first game is just a short week, and yet there's so much that we need to clean up on from that tape. So, you know, being able to get our players in and clean some of those mistakes up before we go on, and trying to do that in a quick period of time will be something we'll have to do. But, they fought, they hung in there, and we ended up obviously with a huge kick at the end by Will, and a good win.
Hey, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, numbers 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I welcome those of you who are drivers and you're delivering things, or account executives, and you're in and out of the car all the time. Thank you very much for listening to our show. And also welcome those of you who are listening not just here, but around the country, streaming our show on your phones, your tablets, or your computers. Here is a text that says, Scoot, the Saints left 55 seconds on the clock, then the Texans scored with 37 seconds left. Okay, yeah, I know it was under a minute. Look, this was just an amazing game. And by the way, I don't know whether you've noticed yet, but now we have more talk and fewer interruptions here on WWL. From Bogalusa, Steve, you're on WWL.
Hey, man, how y'all doing this afternoon?
Good.
I didn't want to make a comment on the officials, and because they blow plays all the time, but I just wanted to say, when Glanville used to coach Atlanta, they used that in that promo where they go, where he's talking to the ref, and he goes, NFL, you know what that stands for? Not for long, if you keep calling bonehead plays like that.
Yeah, the coaches will do a number on officials, because I think they're trying to plant that subconscious seed in there that, hey, you know, if you were unfair to us, so if you have a chance to make it up to us, then make it up to us with another close call.
Yeah. The other thing is, I wanted to say, in preseason, I kept making comments to my friends when we watched. I said, love Saints offense, but their defense is very suspect. And last night in the first half,
yeah,
they came to shine again. They're good in some of their players. Mm-hmm. Cam Jordan, I kept waiting for him to do another sack. He took almost a whole game to get another sack. You can't rely on one guy. But, man, it's about time some of these people step up. And I know the defensive coordinator got a rash of crap last night from Payton, because in that postseason, in that post comment that they were doing, the look he gave him was wild, dude. I know, man. You better get your defense together.
You know, there were times the defense last. This is going to go back for Saints fans a few years when I think it was it Jim Mora who was coach. Remember the flex defense?
Yeah.
Did anybody really understand the flex defense? The flex defense was as incomprehensible as the Dewey Decimal System to me in the library.
Right.
And I don't think the players got the flex defense either.
No. But I just wanted to make my comment about that Glanville, because I always thought that was so funny when he was in CBS's promo all the time. So.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the call. And again, if you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I apologize for sending you guys a text when I should have called the office. I got my answer. Thank you. Okay, well, I'm not really sure what that is. Here's a text that says, shakeups at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, not news anymore. Well, you know, that a point can be made, but there was a little shakeup there. We'll touch on that. We're going to touch on that later. I don't want to really get into it. This is just such a great feel-good day, isn't it? And also, I'm really interested in the Sewage and Water Board facing questions from the City Council. And on Newell's show today, David Hammer from WWL-TV was talking about how he is confident that this new head, Ghassan Korban, of the Sewage and Water Board, is really serious about making changes. And Hammer really talked about how in the past it was like it was a joke. They weren't transparent. There really wasn't any attempt to really change anything. And this is one of the things that's been really embarrassing about our city. The idea that the important stuff gets shoved aside for the pretty stuff. And I guess to some degree that's human nature, but you know, you can't do that. And money can't be spent on other things when it needs to be spent on the important stuff. And something is going on that is causing flooding in places that it did not used to flood. And so many of us have noticed that. And so, but I get the feeling that maybe they're trying to get to the bottom of that, which is really good news. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I feel a little disappointed in the Saints after the end of last season, and is as fans shared the sorrow, and hurt, I really expected the Saints to come out full blast. Instead, they looked like they were sleeping until the third. I expect more. Well, I understand that. The Saints came out, and they were like on fire. And Breeze went right down, took the team right down, and they were getting into a position to score. And then Drew Breeze was rushed out of the pocket, rolling out to the right. He tosses this pass. The receiver, the Saints receiver, is wide open. And it seemed like there was nothing between the receiver and the goal line. So if the pass had gotten to the receiver, it would have been a touchdown. But Breeze underthrew the receiver and threw it right to the Texans defensive player. And if I'm not mistaken, the course of events from that point were the Texans drove 94 yards. In fact, the women behind me, who are cursing the whole game, and I'm telling you, their high-pitched shrill was, I've heard a lot of loud things in my career, been to a lot of loud concerts, been like really close to the speakers, been really close to the band, heard a lot of it over the years. This was the most uncomfortable I ever remember being in terms of this shrieking scream. Anyway, I didn't say anything, maintain my composure throughout the game. But anyway, these women were going, oh, okay. One of them said, oh, yeah, blanking this and blanking that. Well, they're never going to go blanking 94 yards and score a touchdown. I mean, they went right down and shut this woman up. And I there were times that I so wanted to turn around, but I didn't. I let it go. It's a public place, and you're supposed to scream and yell. And I guess maybe it's not their fault that their particular scream is as bad as it is, because their particular scream was just hard to take. And then I want to add to the conversation their constant use of the F bomb, the S word, GD this, GD that. And I mean, it went on and on. And I'm okay with profanity. And many times on this show, we've talked about how you can't hide your kids from reality, and your kids are going to hear curse words, maybe at a convenience store, maybe from you. So they're going to hear it. But it seemed to me that this was their way of having a conversation as opposed to using profanity for emphasis. Okay, here it is. I thought I was wrong about this. Yeah, Dick Nolan was the coach who ran the flex defense, not Jim Mora. I thought it was a little older than Jim Mora. Dick Nolan. Yeah, for those of you who are newer to the New Orleans area, newer Saints fans, there was this defense called the flex defense. And hey, I didn't get it, and I think I'm pretty sure the players didn't get it either, because it was really bad. I'm Scoot. Hang on, we're coming right back on WWL. All right, so I thought we would dedicate this song to the Houston Texans, because if anybody should hear this song today, it should be them. I hate when we play this song after a Saints game. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we have to admit the Saints have a bad day. But you can imagine how the Houston fans feel. And we know because we've been in that situation many, many times. And you know, when I saw the ball with 2 seconds left, just you know, on the wrong side of the comfort zone line for Lutz to kick a field goal, I thought, I don't know. But then there was a part of me that I just thought, you know, under these circumstances, maybe this guy's going to do it, and he did. And this is a time for kickers to remember. With all the glory they get at times like this, there are times when they are brutally criticized and they walk to the sideline after missing a kick that they should have made, and they walk to the sideline and they're humiliated, they're mortified, and they just sit there or stand there. And everybody thinks they lost the game because of them. But I guess it's a team sport. So a lot went on before that kicker got to the point where he was trying to make the kick. And so when in some cases it seems to come down to a winning kick or a losing kick, technically that's true. But the whole team contributed to the team getting into the position where we need this kick to win. If you want to join us, we're just celebrating the incredible win last night. One of the most exciting games, maybe the most exciting game I've been to. So many ups and downs and highs and lows and, you know, a lot of scoring and a lot of yards. There were some, you know, negative things about the Saints, but I mean, look, they did it. They put it together and they won. And they had a great opening drive to the point where Drew Brees threw the interception, and then the Texans come right back, and I think it was with 94 yards. And scored. And boy, that really hurt. And that kind of sent the Saints into this, I don't know, it seemed like there was this collective mood of just being out of sync. But they got it back together in the second half. From Slidell, Mike, welcome to the show.
Yeah, old buddy, I got a kick of that look on that number 10 from Texas when he throwed our man in the air. And
yeah.
Then later on, that ref went away, had to talk to him, trying to explain stuff.
body slammed him. You know, I was hoping that was as soon as I saw that, I'm hoping that this is a penalty, because that would be one of those things that, you know, they might not call, but they did call it, and it seemed like it was clearly a penalty.
Yeah, right away I was wondering if there was going to be a no call on that, see?
Yeah, well, there was a call. Did you enjoy watching the game?
Oh, yeah, that was a very unusual, quite a game to enjoy. That was outstanding. Especially goes to show you Drew Brees has got it in him, boy. It digs right in there, you know, with them passes. Oh, yeah.
Mike, nobody has said it better than you. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Mandeville. Hank, you're on WWL.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Hey.
Yeah.
We beat the Longhorns Saturday. Then we beat Texans Monday. Boy, we really just put it to Texas.
Boy, that's true. You know what? I hadn't made that connection, but man, you're right. We really stuck it to the Texans.
Those people must. But I have to say this about the Texans, even the Longhorns tonight. They seem to take the loss with dignity. I didn't hear of any, you know, thing in a dome where it was any bad vibes, right, from the fans, and that. It sounded like everybody got along, and you win graciously, yeah, and you lose with dignity. And that, I think that's what a lot of fans have to learn how to do, is lose with dignity. You're gonna fight for another day. It's just a game.
The other thing is win with dignity too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you want to sell those tickets? You want to sell those season tickets or
what? What tickets? Season tickets? Saint season tickets?
Yeah, those tickets you have on them screaming women.
Well, those are not my season tickets. I sit in a lot of different places. I mean, I sit all over the place, and this was in the plaza. Sometimes I'm in the loge, but quite often I'm in the terrace level, and I love being in all these different locations. But, you know, I can't imagine people having season tickets right in front of these women. I'm telling you, it was amazing.
And I'm hoping to make a deal with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, Hank, I appreciate the call. No, I don't have the tickets to sell. Let's add this to the conversation. If you listen to this show, you know I'm not a prude. And there have been many times that I talk about, you know, because people say, oh my God, I don't want my child to hear that word. Well, you know, you can't hide your kids from reality. And there was a young guy, I'm going to say he was 10 years old, sitting next to me with his dad. And he was constantly looking back at these women when they were screaming. That's how I knew it just wasn't me. I mean, this little kid is like looking back at these women like, are you all crazy? At one point, I even said to him, I said, they're pretty loud, aren't they? And he shook his head. Yeah, they are. It's okay to be loud. Again, maybe they can't help it that their voice is at a certain frequency. But, you know, I did do video, but I'm not going to show the video because that wouldn't be fair. And I'm not here to pick on anybody in particular, but I'm just talking about general human behavior. Does it ever bother you when you're in a situation, and maybe it's a Saints game, when people have decided that the profanity is not just for emphasis, the profanity is part of their ability to communicate? And, you know, last night, I don't know. You know what? I tell you what bothered me about it. It just seemed to be the manifestation of ignorance. It's like if this is how you talk. I mean, I'm okay for being kind of trashy. I mean, I'm not the most outstanding citizen in the world, and you know, I've had my share of profanity laced moments. But I don't know. It's just throughout the whole game. The only time that they weren't either screaming at this high pitched shrill or they were using the F-bomb was when they were eating. And it was like so nice when they came back with food because so nice. You could just really enjoy the game. Look, the crowd was loud. It's one of the loudest crowds I've ever heard in the Dome. In fact, from the very beginning, the Saints crowd was so loud on even first and second downs that in the beginning, it's like the fans, they came to play. But does profanity bother you to that point? Have you ever gotten into a situation where or ever been around a situation where, you know, okay, profanity is part of the real world. I get that. But have you ever been around a situation where, you know what? This is just really too much. And I'm not talking about going to an Eddie Murphy concert. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From New Orleans, Lane, welcome to WFUL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good, man. I hear you. Sometimes I think those women might have went to a bar rather than a Superdome. If you want to curse like that?
Yeah, I know.
Get I know. That? Yeah, yeah. But I'm gonna steal this. Tommy Tucker, your coworker. I think his name should be Will the Clutch Lutz.
So what? They were doing nicknames for Lutz?
Yeah, Tommy. That was genius. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. Will the Clutch Lutz? Because I actually went to school. I had history class with Deuce at Ole Miss.
Uh-huh.
And the Deuce is loose, you know, everything. Yeah. And he was so amazing. But I think Will the Clutch Lutz, I think that is I don't want to put too much, like, pressure on him. I mean, I could kick a football maybe 30 yards, maybe. But that was amazing. So I hope people don't think he's going to do that all the time.
Yeah, right? because it's not realistic. But it was just such a phenomenal moment, Lane, because he had missed a 56-yarder earlier, and his personal record was 57 yards, and here it is, 58 yards. You know, he didn't have to make this. And if he didn't make it, you know, you couldn't be that mad because that's a long field goal, and that's not expected.
I know, yeah. When he was kicking in that net, I would be scared to death, but he's clutch. I think he had supreme confidence. He's like, I'm doing this.
Will
the Clutch Lutz.
Exactly.
And that's Tommy Tucker, so I didn't take it. Yeah.
That's all right. All right, Lane, I appreciate the call. Here is a text that says, no profanity is bad unless they're taking God's name in vain. Oh, yeah, look, there was the F-bomb, and there was a lot of GD this and GD that and GD that call and GD that player, and what the GD is this defense doing, and why the GD don't they do that? Or, you know, so, again, it was all, I don't know. I feel awkward talking about this because, you know, I'm far from a prude, and I do realize the realities of the world, and there's going to be cursing in public, and that's fine. And sometimes I've cursed in public. And I try to be conscious of kids being around. Not that they haven't heard it. If they don't hear it from me, they're going to still hear it from somebody. But there was just something about this experience last night. And I know that sometimes, look, being inside the dome at a game, it's rowdy. It's loud. It's a Saints game. I expect all of that. But there are still things that people do that make the experience really not very pleasant. I mean, is there anything that fans do that just kind of ruin the game for you? I'll tell you something else that bothers me is and I guess a lot of people don't realize this, but the kicking of the back of a seat, sometimes by an adult, but usually by a kid. You know, the seat that's right in front of you, there's a space between the two seats. There's the seat, and then there's a little space between the seat to the right and the seat to the left. But those seats are all connected. So if you're halfway down a row and somebody's kicking the seat, you'll feel it down the row. And it's just, you know, as rowdy as the dome is, there's something about just that constant boom, 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 boom. I mean, there's something about that constant. It's like just this drip. So, you know, I mean, if you have a child that tends to kick the back of the seat, just be aware of the fact that people down the row can feel that as well. And it's best if they don't kick it. And if you're an adult kicking the back of the seat, well, you know, you should know better. Here is a text that says, I've heard people... I got a bunch of texts that just came in. Just drop this down. Here's a text. Their filthy mouths may explain why they did not have dates with him. Well, I mentioned to I was with Scott Colon from the radio station, the digital director here, because we were going to do the video of a fan's reaction right after the game. So he was at the game with me. And at one point, I told Scott, I said, you know, now you know why their husbands aren't with him, because they'd rather be home alone, I guess. Here's a text that says, profanity is the efforts of a feeble little mind trying to express itself forcefully. And again, man, I'm telling you, I will defend people using profanity. It's protected by the First Amendment. But the constant barrage throughout the game, I think what bothered me most was just the indication that it appeared to be a reflection of a lack of intelligence. And I don't feel like I'm very much of an elitist. All right, you got a comment? 260-1870. In the dome, is there a time during a game when, is there something that fans do that their behavior really bothers you? And as rowdy as the whole situation is, somehow their behavior stands out? Now, I know sometimes somebody will get drunk and they'll spill a beer down your back. I mean, that happens. But there are people who do that like more than once during a game. And it's like, you know what? Maybe you really shouldn't be here, because this is not part of the program. If you want to join us, 260-1870, text 870-870. I think this is a really appropriate song to play because last night was really more than a feeling. Yes, another one bites the dust in the Trump administration. This time it is National Security Advisor Tom Bolton. John Bolton. Yeah, John Bolton. John Bolton? Yeah, John Bolton. National Security Advisor John Bolton. He was fired by the president, and apparently there had been something going on with Bolton and with Pompeo, the CIA director. And, you know, when I think about John Bolton, do you know who I'm talking about? Can you picture the guy? Every time I see him, this song comes to mind. Yeah, he reminds me of a walrus. I'm not being negative. I didn't grow the mustache. He did. All right, if you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, a constant standing up by fans during the game obstructing the view of the plays. Another text says, people in seats in front of you stand up for the entire game. Yeah, that bothers me too. But, you know, last night there was a man with his wife and his teenage son. And the guy in front of me, the father, this was the widest man I've ever seen in my life. At his shoulders, but you know, but he—that's the way he was made. I mean, he was born that way. And there were times that he stood up; he didn't stand up the whole time. But you know, I mean, I couldn't get mad at him because he's a big guy. Because some people are just big people. So you see, I can be very, very reasonable. But these women, first of all, it started. Their screaming started during the introductions. And again, I videotaped it, but I don't want to share that on Facebook, because this was, you know, they were in public, but it was a private moment for them. And I'm not here to attack them specifically. I'm here to just talk about the behavior of just even in a rowdy environment. Is it possible for some people to be too rowdy? 260-1870, text 870-870 from the Gulf Coast. Judy, welcome.
Hi, Scoot.
Hey, Judy.
I have a former friend, she's now an acquaintance, that I went with to a Saints game one time, and I was embarrassed to death. Her language, just her regular talking, was so full of profanity that she couldn't say a sentence without, I mean, even if she was saying something was pretty, it would be blanket pretty.
Yeah.
You know? She just was, she couldn't, it wasn't even just negative,
well,
you know?
I know.
It got to the point where she was saying, she was absolutely using the F word in between syllables. Not just, but like in the middle of a word.
Oh, yeah, like unblanking believable.
Yes. I mean, but she would do that like a lot. And I was really embarrassed. I really was embarrassed.
Yeah.
Second thing I wanted to say is that I really think that the fact that these starters don't play together during preseason has a big impact on them being a little out of sorts at the beginning of the first game. I think the defense, you know, they haven't played, those starters haven't played together since January, or some of them have never played together before, because we don't play our starters during preseason.
Well, I think that's an interesting point. But do the Saints play fewer starters than other teams? Because some teams come out opening game of the season and they do really well, and they do really well against the Saints. At least for it was almost 6 years in a row the Saints would lose their season opener, but we pulled that away with a victory last night. But they'd lost five season openers, and I know Sean Payton talked about last year maybe the Saints were a little bit overconfident with Tampa Bay coming into town. And, you know, emotion is such a big part of the game that if you're not on top of your emotion, that leads to your confidence and your conviction that you're going to win and going to do it, then you're not going to have a great game.
Oh, that's very true. I think with different coaches, different scenarios happen with playing starters in the preseason.
Maybe so.
I know that Coach Payton doesn't play them, not very much at all. And if he does, they don't play together. They play like, you know, they'll go in with another group of players that are just trying
it's
out.
Just,
for the
it's hard to think. Uh-huh. It's hard to think that Sean Payton wouldn't be in touch with that possibility. And if that really was a problem, that it would take more than you noticing it or me noticing it or talking about it on this show for them to have changed that. So I don't know. But Judy, I want to tell you this.
I was really pleased, though, that they got it together in the second half.
Yeah, oh, they sure did.
And they really did. I mean, it was a huge change from first half to second half.
Judy, I enjoyed the blank out of talking to you.
Oh, and you were a blank and wonderful.
Thank you. See why I love spending every afternoon with you guys? I mean, it brightens my day. And I'm working. This is my work. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. All right, I got some breaking news here from the concert world. This is fun to me. Green Day coming out with a new album in February. Green Day, new stuff from Green Day. Green Day, Weezer, and Fall Out Boy begin the Hella Mega Tour June 2020. This is going to be a great distraction from the politics of 2020. The summer of 2020. Politics is going to be so intense. Weezer, Green Day, Fall Out Boy on tour. I'm down for that one. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. This is WWL. Okay, after the Lutz field goal, it was so funny. I saw a Saints fan turn to a group of Texans fans, and I mean, they were like screaming the words to this song. And I mean, what a letdown. You know, I mean, boom, one kick, 2 seconds left, and suddenly your high emotions are drained and it's over. Here's an update on our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll. Are you concerned about the Saints being emotionally drained from last night's final second win over the Texans? 78% say no, 22% say yes. Give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. And from Kiln, Mississippi, Cherie, you're on WWL.
Hi, yes. On the earlier show, the gentleman didn't want to speak about a conspiracy with the officials last year. But he forgot those officials were from California.
Yeah, some of them were.
And the NFL wants major cities to get into the Super Bowl because it generates more money.
Well, not only that, but, you know, with there being two teams in L.A., you know, the NFL has a big interest in making one of those teams really, really popular. And proportion to the population, the Rams are not as big as the Saints are to New Orleans or the Cowboys are to Dallas, even though Dallas has a lot of other different franchises. So there was a lot of signs that pointed to the idea that it was in the best interest of the NFL to help the Rams get to the Super Bowl, not the Saints.
I agree. And I missed an opportunity because my daughter-in-law is from Boston. I wanted the Saints to be there. But as far as the officials with the time clock, if Drew Brees had delay of game, they would have caught that delay of game penalty on him. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm thinking back to that.
Sorry.
I'm thinking back to that moment.
Well, I'm talking about when they didn't put on 10 seconds because they didn't know how to watch the clock. But if Drew Brees would have gone past his time, they would have called a delay of game penalty.
Yeah. Well, the NFL has admitted that they made a mistake on the 10-second countdown on the clock. And to me, it's a rather confusing rule. Cherie, I've got news coming up, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for listening. If you're on hold, hang on. Our number is 260-1870. A text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, I'm really excited about Green Day. The Green Day tour, play some more of their music. Another text says, Green Day is terrible. Sounds like a bunch of whiny Brits. Well, they're from here, aren't they? I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.